direct from the Los Angeles Underground. Open your ear holes for The Superiority Complex, a Guano production.
Welcome back to the pod. That sounded refreshing. Welcome back to Superiority Complex, guys. It's episode number 54 in the numbers.
Wow!
But you know, there's we've actually recorded like 80 something.
Well, I know you have these like Mad Men trivias and.
Yeah, we do. My wife and I watch Mad Men and Game of Thrones, and we review that. And then we got the other stuff coming on. It's hard to figure. I don't know if I want to branch out. My guest today is a good dude. This guy.
Tell it.
Seriously.
Tell a story.
Seriously, one of my favorite people. My friend David Barnes is here today.
Hello, nerds.
And.
Just kidding.
No, it's okay. They're nerds. David is one of my favorite people just because just the biggest smartass.
Let me get warmed up and your audience will hate me.
We became friends because of our we both have a propensity just to push people's buttons and just and then we recognize it in each other, so then it would be like a thing where we try to impress each other with the button pushing we could pull.
To see if we could top each other with obnoxiousness.
It was great, and it was always a fun time. And thankfully, David and I have always stayed in contact. We haven't seen each other in a while.
I saw you over Christmas. I
think every once in a while, you'll pop in and say hello, or we'll contact each other. But then we'll go months and months and not see each other. But one of the reasons I love David is that he's a huge Dodgers fan. So let's get this out of the way, because you wrote this down. You brought a list of topics. You actually wrote them down.
Well, first, I feel like I watch Conan a lot.
Yes.
I love it. And when people come on and bring them gifts, I brought you a gift from Comic-Con, even though I didn't go. Someone brought it back for me. It's a legit.
Oh, my God. Renee.
Official.
I have an official. I'm holding in my hand an official Gotham City Police Detective badge. From Comic-Con. This thing's heavy.
Gotham, this fall on Fox. That's my shameless plug.
Can we talk about where you work?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So what do you do? What do you do now, dude?
The past few years I've worked at... Well, I went to Cal State Northridge, did a lot of editing work.
CSUN.
Go Matadors. Even after I graduated, I still slaved away in the bar and restaurant industry for a couple years. And I was
beautiful.
Lucky enough to get a job at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Our department, we do all the behind-the-scenes content for all the network shows. So if there's like a big-name guest star... we'll go to set, get some B-roll, get an interview. That's pretty much the basic. And then we could bring it all back to the department.
Mm-hmm.
Like 75% of my job is editing, 25% is shooting, gathering the footage.
Yeah.
That's been doing that for 3 years. All our stuff goes on the internet, fox.com, YouTube. So if you're a fan of Family Guy, usually I think each show has their own YouTube page.
Yeah.
To where you can subscribe, so you just get all these videos. So that's where all that stuff goes. And we got some big stuff coming up. We're actually the Family Guy Simpsons crossover.
I saw the preview for that. I'm not the biggest Family Guy fan, but it looked hilarious.
It's pretty good. I was lucky enough to see it a couple months back. And I was in – this was all took place last year. I was in the booth at Family Guy. We go over there quite a bit. The offices are on Wilshire across the street from LACMA. And so I was in the booth with, like, Hank Azaria.
Oh, that's awesome.
Charlie Smith, while they're, like, doing their roles for the episode. And I'm, like, as close as I am to you, like, with a camera shooting them. And it was just, like, the one day I was, like, a giddy little school kid.
Heck yeah, man. That's awesome.
Watching Hank, like, literally without missing a beat, go through a dozen characters. I mean, he's been doing it for, like, almost 30 years. So, but just to see it in person is pretty amazing.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I feel like you were influenced by The Simpsons at an early age.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I was.
There's the beep. You heard it.
There it is. The infamous beep. About eight years old, I think I was, when the first season started.
Yeah.
8 or 9.
Yeah, you're just a young man.
I know. I'm just a baby.
I'm just a babe. That was right after, like, that was the first. I think that started, like, right after, I think I graduated from high school. And then, like, that fall, The Simpsons debuted on, because it was on the Tracy Ullman show. They were little.
Yeah.
Which I never used to watch, but they would always, end it with like a little Simpsons cartoon. So mm-hmm. I would remember watching like mm-hmm. that. But then when, you know, MM Dude, like the early 90s, it was like just a huge phenomenon, you know? And then you think, here we are after everything we've been through in that 30 years, the Simpsons are still like, you know.
They're still going.
It's not as
funny as it used to be.
No. Well, but look how many great writers have come through. Conan and all these other guys mm-hmm. that have come through there. And yeah, I think that there was that middle, like, that there was like the middle years, like seasons maybe like 5 through like 15. There's like that 10-year run where it's just.
Yeah. I think I have up until, and I usually get them for free. Someone just gives it to me. There's always like boxes of swag laying around.
What?
At work where you can get just nonsense like what I just gave you.
Yeah, this is awesome, by the way. I'll take a picture of it and post it on the. I have to take a picture.
I think I have up to like season 12.
That's awesome. It's still one of my favorite. You know what? And Futurama was another one that I was.
They're doing a crossover too. Futurama Simpsons.
Are they really?
I think it's. I could be wrong, but I think it might be the Simpsons season premiere. Because the Family Guy Simpsons crossover is technically a Family Guy episode.
Oh, okay.
So it's their season premiere. And I think the Simpsons season premiere is a Futurama.
Yeah, because the Futurama's done now. They finished it. But, man, I love that show too. And that's a show that all the guys that were on The Simpsons, like the Futurama came out like fully formed. Like, you know, you watch the first couple seasons of The Simpsons and you're like, oh, Homer doesn't talk the same and like the characters aren't quite mm-hmm. there yet. It takes a little while, but then you watch Futurama and from like the first episode, it's like they hit the ground running and it just gets better and better.
Never got into it, but
what?
I know. There's too much stuff on TV now.
What are you watching, man? What's your favorite?
Well, we're watching, actually last night we were supposed to go to a friend's birthday and we got lazy and ended up staying. And so we just started watching Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
Because we recorded all
I haven't
of them.
Seen an episode. Is it good?
We watched the first 5. I'm into it. And then she's never seen the movie, so we watched that as well last night.
Oh, God.
Which is still great. Mm-hmm. You've never seen it?
So I called it in. That's my favorite guy. Oh. The guy.
I'm like,
so I'm tending bar down there at Eklund and Stendler's, and a guy comes in and says, I'm going crazy out there at the lake. He does that whole thing. But my brother and I always crack up because the guy's like, she told me I should call it in, and he does the thing with a thumb.
Yep.
So I called it in. End of story.
We've been talking. It just ended right before he walked in. But oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The part uh-huh. that always to this
it's
day.
Very addicting.
To this day, that's the part that still makes me crack up is when the grandpa gets shot. And he's just like going down in slow-mo. He's like, oh, gee.
Yeah. He's like, you goddamn bastard.
the Coen brothers, man. Geniuses. So what I wanted to talk about before, now we know we got a little backstory. We know you're working at Fox. We're going to get into the whole, mm-hmm. how you're going to sneak me on the set of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. We're going to do that mm-hmm. later. Mm-hmm. I have a question about Fox and Star Wars, by the way.
Okay.
I want to know what you're thinking. Tell me what's on your mind. But listen, what I want to know is the news. I was just thinking about this with Star Wars. So Disney has the rights now. Is Fox going to distribute?
Oh, I don't know.
Because
I have a couple friends that work on the film side. Oh, can you hear me?
I burped so big in our movie room.
That's why I can't drink Coca-Cola at 10:30 in the morning.
Well, you gotta. Yeah, first of all, we're here really early.
Sorry, this is gonna happen.
It's all that. You have friends on the film side.
Yeah, who probably know more about that than I do. Like they get to see. But I don't know if Fox has any affiliation with Star Wars.
Do they own the distribution rights? Because think about it.
I mean, they still sell the DVDs in the store. One of the stages is a giant mural from Empire Strikes Back where Luke's fighting Darth Vader.
Take a picture of that, would you? Send it to Daddy.
I got a few somewhere. I think I have it somewhere on my phone.
I want to know, because think about it. What's a Star Wars movie without that opening 20th Century Fox fanfare?
Yeah.
If we get the little Disney castle, it's not going to do it for me.
Well, no, it's the way the state of the movies are now. One studio doesn't control. It's like one does a theatrical release. One does the distribution.
Yeah.
One has the international rights. Like, I forgot what movie I saw recently where just before we even got into, like, the opening credits of the movie, it was like 4 yeah. studios with their, like, sub-studios.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ, man.
Dude, and that's the reason we have when people ask, well, why can't Spider-Man show up in an Avengers movie? It's because Sony has the rights, and then not only does Sony have the rights, like you said, there's 12 other companies that have their fingers in that pie, so then you want to throw them in with Disney, and it's just not going to work.
Yeah, I think all Fox has is the X-Men and Fantastic Four.
Which is amazing to me that when you think about a movie like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like now even more than the special effects and making the cartoons work, the fact that they got all those characters in one movie and like nobody got
that
sued.
That would never happen. That would never.
It was a huge deal back then.
That would be like a $400 million budgeted movie. And then it'll gross $150 and people would just lose jobs.
That's great. And, or just move to Canada and film there.
Which
all right.
They're doing.
Let's talk about it. You and I, you were there.
Oh, yeah.
I was there. And unfortunately, the only person I could share it with on the airwaves.
What he's talking about is the West Hollywood Gay Pride Parade.
That's right. We were there.
Yeah. Spoiler.
We were there. We were queer. So deal with it. Now, you were there. You were at Kershaw's No-No.
You know, I almost said no to going to that game, too.
Let's talk about it.
A friend of mine.
I have not had.
I went with a couple work friends, and it was like 3 o'clock in the day, and they just one of them ended up getting an extra ticket. And I don't even know what else. I probably just wanted to be lazy that night. Because I think I had gone to a game a couple days before.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going to a lot this season. And so he comes up with the ticket, and I'm just like, in the first instinct, he's like, nah, I'm cool. Like, I'll set this one out. And he's like, come on. He gives me that look. I'm like, all right, let's go. And then obviously if I wouldn't have went, I would have been punching myself in the nuts for the rest of my life. Because when are you ever going to see that again? Never.
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 My cousin called me. And I usually, by this time in the season, I've easily gone to like maybe 10 games. Like, I don't know why, I just don't buy a mini plan at this point. I go to a lot of games.
Right.
But I'm just like, I'll find the tickets like
it's
last
because I don't think they put the bobblehead nights on the mini plan.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not a huge, I mean, some of the, like the Vin Scully mic that they just did, I really wanted that, didn't get one. But I didn't go because it's like nights that I'm busier, you know, I have work, whatever, I can't get out there in time. So my cousin has season tickets. He has great season tickets, and he is the most generous guy in the world. He's always given us the tickets. He's got tickets behind the dugout, the Dodger dugout in third base at field level.
Yeah,
so.
No, I've seen where those seats are. Not bad.
Yeah,
not
right? Bad. Hey, I have nothing to do with it, man. It's all my cousin. He's a good guy. So he just says, hey, I have one extra ticket tonight. Do you want to go? And it was you know, I had the day off. And I said, yeah, I haven't been to a game. I have not. We were moving and all this whole thing with the move. And we just didn't have time to get a game in. And I was jonesing. I was like, man, I haven't been to a game yet. I need to get down there. And so I was like, yeah, man, I will go. You know, I told my wife, hey, I'm going to go to – sorry. You know, he's got one ticket. My wife was like, no, go. It's cool. You haven't been yet. Go. So and she's a huge Dodgers fan too. So, you know. But my brother got – my cousin gave one ticket to my brother, and our other cousin went with us. And we're all sitting there, and my brother is older than me, so when I was a kid, I didn't go to games with my brother a lot, but I did go with my cousin who gave me the ticket. We used to go. He was a huge, huge, huge. As much as I love the Dodgers, he dwarfs me as far as like his love of the Dodgers. So
does he go shirtless and paint his whole body?
No,
blue?
He doesn't. But he does have a lot of like he's in a position where he buys a lot of sports memorabilia. Mm-hmm. So his office is filled with like Dodgers and Lakers. It's like, you know, he's a huge Lakers fan too. So he will spend a lot of money on tickets and stuff like that. So not the blue paint, but yeah, we're sitting there, and so I'm like, yeah, this is a good, you know, this is going to be awesome. And the last time I went to a game with my brother. Was the playoff game last year where the only game we beat St. Louis at home.
I went to the one they lost.
Yeah, good freak. Well, yeah. Dude, you know what? I will tell you that playoff game washed the memory of Matt Stairs hitting that home run off of Jonathan Broxton, which I was there for too. That was the only Dodger playoff game I had been to. Mm-hmm. So watching Ellis hit that home run last year kind of washed that away from me. It was a wash, so I was even. But so we're just sitting there, and you know, it's the thing about that game is it snuck up on you because the Dodgers were doing so well offensively.
Mm-hmm. You just kind of didn't notice.
Yeah, you didn't.
I noticed about the fourth.
That's about the time.
Something.
That's about the time. My brother looked at me and he goes, "Has anybody been on base yet?" And I was like, "Holy crap! I don't think anybody's been on base." So I get my phone out. Right, no hits. I'm like, "Oh yeah, dude, he's got nobody's been." I couldn't, you know. And I was like, I don't think there's no walks. Nobody's walking. He's striking everybody out, you know? So we're looking at the strikeout kind of thing. We're starting to put it together. So, like, people are starting to get. And then I think at the start of the fifth, people were starting to.
Yeah.
Starting to.
Because even random, like, ground ball outs were getting huge ovations. Mm-hmm. You know, pop flies.
Yeah. And then when did. The memory of this, because we had such a clear view of it from where we were. We saw Rojas get that out. We saw Rojas gun the guy out at first, where he just picked the ball at the third baseline and just gunned it across.
There's got to be one or two plays in a no-hitter for something like that to happen.
Exactly. Like, and that was one of them. That one was
a diving catch or an amazing play at third. Or,
and then Hanley had the one. Yeah. He had one before. Mm-hmm. So then was it in the sixth when Hanley
Six or seven.
I think it was the sixth. Yeah. I think it was the sixth when Hanley threw that ball wide. And you just felt like...
That collective groan,
like we saw a perfect game through six. So I was already ready to say, you know what? This is one of the best games I've ever been to already.
After that error, you got up and were about to leave to beat the traffic. No. People left.
People did leave. Did you notice that? My brother... like elbows me and he looks at me because I kind of got bummed and my brother elbows me and goes, no hitter, man. We got a no hitter. And I was like, oh, all right. Like I'm focused. So after that, I was like, focused. Like so then by that time, everybody now it's all about the no hitter. And that's when I think I really started to notice every play getting like a huge, like every strike, everything, you know, like a routine ground ball, you know, gets thrown out. Everybody's just cheering their brains out. So then it comes to inning nine, and like you can feel the tension build every.
Yeah, I was genuinely nervous.
Yeah, I was
bottom of the eighth, end of the ninth. Like I had butterflies. I was nervous. I was shaking a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Because I was like, God's not that good to me. Where I'm going to be able to see this in my life. I mean, I've been first Dodger game I went to. I was probably like 6 months old.
Yeah. I can tell you, I've been to hundreds of games, and I've never seen anything close. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like And my brother...
Because without that, it was an 8-0 game. It would have been boring, and we probably would have split.
Yeah. We'd just been like, well, I'm out. You know, right. I usually stay. I like to stay. Mm-hmm. I never leave. I don't want to... Because I'm always afraid I'm going to be that
you're going to miss something amazing.
I'm going to be the taillights in the parking lot during the Kirk Gibson home run. I never want to be that guy.
Yeah, it's always in the back of my mind, but I'll dip out.
But you know what? But you go a lot, and you live close by, so it's like, I'll be here tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, no big deal. I have to make the trek out from
this. This is true. I live 10 minutes away.
Yeah, I got to schlep out from the suburbs, man. So and then like that ninth inning, you're right, and you could feel it. People were nervous, and he gets those first two outs, and then I recorded the whole third out, and then I remember when...
I recorded too. You hear me... screaming like a moron.
I'm not kidding, dude. When that third strike came through, it took a second. It took a second for everybody to get him. Like, it took a second. And then the place, I've never heard Dodger Stadium sound like that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even a full. By that time, it wasn't full.
There's maybe, 40,000?
Maybe.
At that point?
The upper decks were, upper decks were empty as usual. The pavilion was probably like half full. Mm-hmm. But everybody was crowded around, and it just went, the place just erupted. And, man, I even got a little bit of a tear, like involuntarily, dude, just had tears like rolling down.
I looked at my buddy. I was like, I think I want to cry right now. He's like, go ahead, man. Just let it out. Be you. It was amazing.
How else do you react to that?
Cause the chances are you're probably never going to see something like that again. And when we were leaving, there were free tickets and the tickets came with, free parking, so we were able to park really, really close to the stadium. And when we were walking to our car, there's this little old lady in her car ready to drive away with a couple other people. And she's like, this was my second no-hitter I've ever seen. I was like, she's got to be like 80. And we're like, oh, the last one was like in the 70s. I forgot who she said it was.
Yeah. My brother is reputed to have seen, although he says if he was there, he doesn't remember it because he was little. But my mom always insists that my two brothers who are older than I am were there when Koufax threw a no-hitter. They were at one of Koufax's no-hitter because they were old enough to see Koufax pitch. And my brother says, he doesn't – like he's not one of those guys that's going to say like I have it. Like, oh, yeah, I was there. And he's like, if I was there, dude, I was little and I wasn't paying attention. I was probably playing, screwing around. He's like, so if that's true – but my mom always does that. She's getting to the age where she mixes us up. And so she'll go, oh, remember the time we saw Koufax throw that no-hitter? And I'm like, no, Mom, and why don't you stick that knife in a little deeper? Twist that. Give that blade a little twist, Mom.
Yeah, that's brutal.
So, yeah, he was – apparently that's his second – like if that's true, he's seen two no-hitters. Mm-hmm. But even he said, you're never going to see this again in your life. He said, this will never happen again.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for that error, I mean, ESPN, of course, the next day, they're going like, this might have been the greatest pitching performance in the history of baseball.
Yeah, because nobody – what was it?
He got 15 strikeouts, no walks. He did it in like just over 100 pitches.
Yeah.
There's like some bullshit rating system they created, I think, just to create a story for the next day.
Yeah.
Where, the rating it got, it could have been the greatest performance ever.
But I will tell you that in all my years, I've never seen somebody. And, dude, he was just fanning people out. Because, you know, there's nights where you can tell if the pitcher has it or not. And yeah. you could tell early on. It's like, okay, here we go.
I mean, right off the bat.
And even my brother said, man, Kershaw, like early, like first inning, second inning, my brother go, man, Kershaw really works quick, you know. He doesn't fool around. He doesn't take a lot of time. He just boom, 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 you know.
Yeah.
Not a lot of setup. He just gets in and gets out. And so we were kind of talking about that. But, again, the main story early on was the offense because the Dodgers, they were hitting. And right, they were doing
– it was like 8-0 by like
– yeah, and they were
six.
Getting those great runs where it's like they'll get a guy on base and then, you know, the ball just goes the right way. And then, you know, like, oh, look, like here's a little blooper. And here, you know, you're going to double somebody in. And it's just you're watching the – so where you're rolling. So it's like we're going to relax now. You know, the first couple innings where you don't know how the game broke wide open early on. So we were just relaxed and, you know, jawing and having a good time. And so you're not paying attention to, you know, and Kershaw's Kershaw. I've seen him pitch enough
he
now that
he did it again on Saturday when I was there. Again, two hitter in the enemy territory.
We got to talk about that. Yeah. Let's talk about that. So first of all, there's a great picture. I think I'm going to use that for the cover of the for the episode. There's a great picture. It was your birthday last week.
Yeah.
So this episode won't drop for till the middle of August, but we're recording this the first weekend of August, so we're like 2 weeks ahead right now because I have a lot of shows stacked up. But I had a good little run. It's really nice. So this will drop in a minute. So, but last week was the Dodgers-Giants series.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers went in two games down, or game and a half down?
Yeah, something like that.
And first of all, there's nothing like there's nothing like being in first place. There's nothing like beating the Giants for first place. And there's nothing like doing it at Telephone Park.
And sweeping them.
There's a picture of Barnes. You with your Kershaw jersey, like you're standing with your arms outspread.
This is my giant F hater.
It just says, in the belly of the beast.
Yep.
So let's talk about it. How was did you go to all three games?
No, we just went on Saturday.
Which was the Kershaw game.
Yeah, we flew up Friday morning, you know, did a bunch of stuff. Saturday during the day, Kristen wanted to do the Full House. Kristen's my girlfriend for you listeners. She wanted to do the Full House tour.
Yeah, she's a Giants fan.
And she's a Giants fan, the idiot. So she's going to listen to this. I love you. I'm sorry, baby. We get a lot of shit when we go to Dodger games because I'm at home. She's wearing her Giants shirt, and I get comments like, dude, how can you hold her hand? It's like, blah, blah, blah. And so up there, like, it was reversed. I got the shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, when we were walking to the stadium, because we were staying about 2 miles away from it, so as we're walking over there, as soon as we left the hotel, we went across the street to 7-Eleven just to get, like, some waters. And as soon as I walked in there, comment from a guy is like, you're with the wrong guy, man. I was like, oh, God, it's already started. And so I looked there, I was like, all right. How many times do you think from here to the stadium, which is about a 20-minute walk, like someone's going to say something? I'm like, I'm putting the over-under at about 12. And so every stoplight, when we're walking, we stop, somebody says something. So we got up to about 8. Thank you.
So
thank you, darling.
A lovely Giants fan just brought in those are two words you don't hear every day together, lovely and Giants fan. Three words, actually.
Three words.
That shows you how smart I am as a Dodgers fan.
Oxymoron right there.
That's Kristen, everybody. She can't hear her, but she's there, and she just brought David a coffee.
Thank you, babe.
See?
And so we got up to about 8, I think, until we got to the front of the stadium. And by then, there were so many other Dodger fans that it just didn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as soon as I got in and I'm going up the stairs to the second level, one of the employees, because it was a grocery bag night or whatever, they give you like those disposable.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or not, they're not disposable, but
the recyclable, reusable.
Bright grocery orange, bag. It says Giants on it. It's like, cool, whatever. And so I'm going to stairs.
Now
like,
you have a chamois for your car.
Exactly. And one of the employees was like, hey, you know where the best place to take that jersey into? Because I had my Kershaw. I'm like, where? He's like, the ladies' restroom. And this is as I'm going on the escalator like, past him. And he just like looks at me and just looks back. But then like 10 other Dodger fans passed him. He didn't say anything to them. He just said it to me like all menacing and shitty. I'm like, I was like, God. I looked at it, I was like, okay, we only got it to 8. That's got to be at least worth 5. So we're over. We're over the dozen. But you know what? There were a ton of Dodger fans there.
No, you know what? I heard. I was listening. I always listen on the, you
so
know.
It wasn't too bad.
Whenever I watch the game and it's, you know, it's somewhere. You know, I don't pay too much attention when it's like, you know, we're playing the Pirates or something. But anytime it's San Francisco or San Diego, or the Angels and mm-hmm. I'm watching the game on TV, yeah. I always listen to hear how many Dodger fans are in the crowd. And there were – you could hear it when Kershaw was fanning people. I mean, people were cheering. There were a lot of people up there. But you reminded me of a story about because I remember once we were up at – and this was in the – this was at the during the Bonds era of the Giant. We were up – I can't remember who I was with, but we bought tickets last minute to – it might have been my wife. We were up at we're up in the general admission. We're up in the cheapies, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there, and it's, you know, the Dodgers-Giants. And, you know, people – it's L.A., so people are showing up in, like, the third inning. This guy comes walking down the stairs, and, you know, the stairs are, like, raked up in the – yeah. So he's got his – he's walking with his girlfriend. And his girlfriend must have just come from work. She's wearing, like, this little pencil skirt, you know, long legs, typical L.A. long legs, blonde, like, just tall. Literally everybody – you see everybody's heads – just like from either side of the stairway, everybody's heads pivot and they're just watching this girl walk, you know, like guys are hitting their wives, like, you know, what are you looking at? You know what I mean? This girl's beautiful. So she gets down, they get down, the guy's all Dodger geared out. They get down to the front row, like the front, like overlooking the field. They get down to the front and she takes off her jacket. She's got a Barry Bonds jersey underneath, dude. You've never heard a crowd turn. Just wow. Boom! And then everybody just starts, like, you know, you start hearing, like, you think, and then all of a sudden and this is why I love LA, out of nowhere you just the spontaneous chant just breaks out, dumper, dumper, dumper.
That's great.
It's the best. But it was like, you've never seen, like, a second ago these guys were just like salivating as she mm-hmm. like walks down. The second she gets her see, that Barry Bonds thing is revealed, it's all over. She might as well look like Medusa. It was great.
Yeah, we got booed pretty bad because we had great seats. Some friends of mine were able to hook it up with some great seats. We're like directly below Vin Scully.
Oh, beautiful.
So like before the game, he's just standing there looking, and there's like a little cluster of us, maybe four or five Dodger fans, and we're just like, Vin, and he looked, and he's like, gave us a little clap, pointed at us.
Oh yeah, beautiful, yeah. Man. You got acknowledged.
It was a great little moment. And so, you know, where we're at is we're directly behind home plate, but like just above the net. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they hit a foul ball, it can just go right over the net, and it's pretty much just like a scud missile straight for your head. And I said, like, in the second inning, I was looking at Kristen like, you know, a ball's going to come flying at us at some point. Like, it has to, and it's going to be bad.
Because I'm probably going to be drunk.
Yeah,
enough.
It's probably not going to be one of those nice little pop-ups. No, it's going to be just a liner off a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. And sure enough, I think it was Handley. Came off his bat, came straight at us. Like, I put my hands out. I think it literally went right under my elbow. I don't know how it didn't hit me in the gut or the nuts or whatever. Hit the chair behind me, bounced two guys over, which was another Dodger fan, and he got the ball. And as soon as he, like, put it up in the air, the entire, like, half stadium just booed the hell out of us.
Oh, is that
–
you got put on TV?
Yeah.
You were on TV.
And then, like, I'm high-fiving them, and everyone's booing them, and I'm standing there just giving them a standing ovation like the asshole I am. and then, yeah, my buddy sent me a picture, I guess. I think he was watching on Sportsnet.
Yeah.
Because the guy sitting next to me was from the Bay Area, and his buddy sent him a picture from the Giants network.
Oh, okay.
So we were on that one as well.
But beautiful.
But the Sportsnet got a great one to me, just high-fiving.
I saw that. It was really funny. It was like, you're like, I got on TV. I was like, of course you would. Mm-hmm. Of all people, the most obnoxious Dodger fan I know. And I'm saying that as the most obnoxious Dodger fan I know.
Yeah, but it was a great experience. And, you know – obviously, I hate the Giants. We all do. But AT&T Park is a really nice ballpark.
I've heard that. I have our friend of the show.
That is a nice ballpark, too.
Friend of the show and my good buddy Hitesh Patel, he lives up – he's a Dodgers fan, but he had to move up to – he moved mm-hmm. up to the Bay Area for work. And he has a great story where he – and I'm gonna mess it up, but he works for a company called Genentech, and they're like a big – pharmaceutical company. So they have all these like company, like, you know, team days. Like we're gonna go to AT&T Park for team day. And it's always like during the Dodgers series. So they made them these Genentech jerseys that are like they're replica Giants jerseys, but they say Genentech. Mm-hmm. And so I guess they handed him one. He's like, I'm not wearing that. And they're like, why not? He's like, nope. They're like, well, it's team. He's like, I'm not wearing it.
You're,
I don't care.
You
like,
hear that age-old saying? Nope.
Yeah, just like, nope. And he's so I guess he went to his boss, who was a Chicago fan. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if it's Cubs or White Sox. And he's like, I'm not wearing this. And then he's like, they're like, come on. He's like, well, would you wear a, I don't remember, he told him, would you wear a White Sox jersey? And he's like, okay, you're right. So he made them make one in the Dodgers font. So he has the only one that's like a Dodgers font. But he,
it's probably made from like the scrap. It's going to fall apart. And he's like, just make it shitty. It's for a Dodger fan. He don't know any better.
Yeah, he's in hell up there right now, man. He's because you know, like down here, we at least we can get, when we run into a Giants fan, it's like we, you know, we have the numbers. But he's like, yeah, up here, man. He's like, they're just, they're right in your face. He's like, and I don't, he's like, what can I say? They've won the World Series the last couple. I was like, God, just tell him 2-50, man. Don't tell. They're like, oh, 2-3. It's 2-50. All right, yeah. Giants fans, get off of it.
Now there was going back to Saturday night. So we went to the game, and then afterwards, went to a couple places, had a couple drinks. You know, I'm still in my Dodger stuff. And at the end of the night, we ended up, it's like this last bar. And I'm tired. I'm ready to go. We're about to leave. And then I was just over getting shit for what I was wearing. I was cool with it earlier, but after like 8 hours of it, you just kind of get annoyed. Because nobody has any smart, like...
Yeah, it's never funny.
Comebacks. It's like, they go back to they won the series.
Yeah.
Like, all right, cool, whatever. And then one dude made that comment when I was leaving this hotel. And you know, I just made one of those obnoxious, like, ha, 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 ha. And I just looked straight at him. And he's like, ugh. I was like, anything else? He's like, no, fine. I was like, all right. And I just walked away. I was so irritated.
That happened to me one time in San Diego. We were at – my wife and I were walking around downtown showing her Petco. Mm-hmm. And I was like – I had my Dodgers gear on. I go, yeah, there's Petco. You know, we had gone down there in the inaugural season for Petco. And I told my wife, I go, yeah. I go, that's Petco. It's a really nice stadium. This guy walks up to me like just on the street in the Padres. He's like walking towards me. He's like, yeah, it is a really nice stadium. Like angrily agreeing with me.
You're talking about your AAA. So then
I said, yeah, you know what it's missing? He goes, what? I said, some championship. I would have let it go, but the guy was so aggressive.
They just asked for
he
it.
Was he was aggressive. I got into it with a guy one time that he was down here and he was wearing all his Giants gear, you know, and his wife kind of like got mad. His wife was worried that I was gonna like do something or say something. And I said, ma'am, I'm not going to, you know, I said, I'm giving him, no, she was mad. He was getting really aggressive with me and I was just kind of being a smart ass back. And I said, he said something. I don't remember what. And I said, look, sir. I said, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I said, but this, you got to look at the way I see it. I said, I live in LA. I said, the American League affiliate is the Angels. They're right here. So we're going to see a lot of Angels fans. So, you know, if they give me some crap, that's going to be – San Diego, that's an hour away. I was like, but San Francisco? I said, you know, that's – I said, if you're going to come down here in San Francisco, you have to pack that gear. You don't just – like, you're not just going to throw it on. Mm-hmm. You're packing. That's in your suitcase. So you want the attention, dude. You want us to, like, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to give it to you. Like, that's my job as an ambassador of my – of the team I love. I have to give you some
I've never been aggressive towards visiting fans though. Like at Dodger Stadium, to walk around and feel, I mean, I don't care. It's there now if they're like asking for it.
Yeah.
Because there are some of those guys where it's like first inning dude gets a single and he's standing there like doing this, grabbing his shirt, like, okay, we get it, idiot. Like, you're a Braves fan. Why are you bragging about that?
Yeah, right? But you know what's cool is if you're at the, especially at Dodger Stadium, Dodger Stadium gets a bad rap. But there's – I mean, especially with Giants, but there's always been that. I mean, dude, you go back to Juan Marichal and Johnny Roseboro, they're hitting each other with a bat during a game. Mm-hmm. At Candlestick Park, they used to throw batteries at the Dodgers fans. The D-cell batteries, the fans and the players, the battery chuckers used to call them. But most people, if you're cool with them, dude, they're just cool. They're nice people. We ran into some people.
I respect you if you're representing your team in a visiting city.
We had some people once. There were some Pirates fans, and it was a Pirates game. It was like bobblehead night. And this guy started giving them crap. And I just turned around. I was like, hey, man, they have kids. Like, they don't need to. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there was another Dodgers fan. I was like, they get it. Like, they're in our stadium. Like, it's cool. And so, like, later on after the game, they came and they gave me one of their bobbleheads. They're like, we appreciate what you did, and mm-hmm. We don't need anything. So I got, like, an extra bobble. Dude, just be a decent human being. They understand. Like, they get it. Mm-hmm. Especially if the Dodgers are winning. You don't need to pile on.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're gonna feel enough shame walking out, like you did. With they know people are looking at them mm-hmm. with their little Pirates hat or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you can do that. The only place it doesn't apply is the Giants fan. You can always be a jerk to a Giants fan, and it's all right.
It's true. It's true. I was totally enjoying every moment of it. Granted, because we won.
Now, how was it watching them, like, with every strikeout? Were you just getting more and more obnoxious? Yeah.
Not, I mean, I stood up a lot. I probably stood up a lot more than I did do at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
For just, especially in the later innings. But I wasn't like taunting people, you know, just like, like a very gentlemanly, just slow
golf clap. You were doing the Angels clap whenever the Angels hit a home run, yeah. And they just do that golf clap.
Yeah, and but we're going to Chicago in September to watch the Dodgers at Wrigley.
There you go. I've never been to Wrigley,
me
man.
Me either. So that's part of the on the bucket list for sure.
Take lots of pictures and let me know. I've heard it's fantastic.
Yeah, I was in Chicago 2 weeks ago, very briefly, first time. I can't wait to go back. That's.
Are you going for work? Or?
I was there for work. Because when we were trying to schedule this for the last, like, month and a half, you were out of town, I was out of town. I was able to go to Chicago for, like, we were there for, like, 36 hours. But we're going to go for about 4 days.
Awesome, man.
In September to see everything, the whole thing.
I'm just glad I had somebody on that can talk about the no-no. Because it's, like, unless you were there,
because you couldn't watch it on TV.
Not that many people saw it.
I know. And I have DirecTV, so I can't watch anything. That's why I've been going to so many games this year.
We moved, and we were in Time Warner Land now, so it's nice. Mm-hmm. And last night would have been a game I probably would have skipped, you know, just normally, just because, it was on a Saturday, and you know, I sat there and watched almost the whole thing. I missed the walk-off because we ended up going out, but I'm just trying to savor, especially now that you know that Vin is like year to year as far as when he's coming back. I've really been trying to savor like every game.
Yeah, as you should. Yeah. I was there on Wednesday for Kemp's walk-off.
Love it.
And I was there Friday, which was an awful game. Because of shitty Cubs. And I was with two Cub fans. They're the ones who gave me the ticket, and they're good guys. But
Yeah,
they were loving it. And,
8-1. What was it? 8-2?
8-2. Barely. They almost didn't give it that weird slide that for Yasiel.
But you know what? A lot of people, Yasiel. First of all, let's stop comparing Yasiel to Mike Trout. Two different animals. Mm-hmm. And secondly, don't take anything away from Mike Trout. The guy's a complete ball player. I'm not gonna deny that. But it's always like, Yasiel sucks compared to – yeah, but he's good for being Yasiel. And the thing I like about weird slides like that is the guy hustles, dude. Mm-hmm. Whether or not – I mean, sometimes he doesn't always make the best choices, but, you know,
he got picked off yesterday.
He's got that fire, though, man. I'd rather have a guy –
I'll take him any day.
I'll take a guy – I would rather have you get I'd rather have you get picked off trying to steal base than strike out swinging because you just weren't paying attention. Yeah.
My favorite thing that he does is just on a routine single – he makes the center fielder, right fielder think he's going for two, and they get all panicky, you know, and he just kind of stops and just gives that look like, I'm just fucking with you. Does it every time.
Every time. And you know who's been a lot of fun to watch this year, and I've always been and I don't want to say, but it is on record somewhere. I've been a huge believer in D. Gordon forever, and it's just a matter of knowing that he needed to work on his bat. And, you know, that's the only thing came because once that guy gets on base, he's amazing. Mm-hmm. And what a great year for him. Gets to go to the All-Star game, especially, you know, he started the last couple seasons, then would get sent down. And you know, you're always like, come on, D. Like, I was always afraid they were going to trade him away because I really feel like he's something special, too. Mm-hmm. And it's really been fun to watch him this year. And that's a guy who loved I don't know if you follow him on Instagram or follow him on Instagram. He and Yasiel are amazing because they just love baseball, and they're just good guys, and so they're fun to
– You see the joy in them.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like the joy you got when you were a kid and you were playing, you know?
Well, like Yasiel's the first – like for Wednesday, he was the first one to dump like the Gatorade on Kemp. He's the first one to rip the jersey off.
Yeah. You know, last year too, I got that a lot with Kershaw, like when Yasiel was having that breakout, you know, when he was just hitting home runs left and right. They'd flash the dugout, and Kershaw would be – cracking up, like laughing, because it's just that joy of like he was just as blown away as everybody else. But you know, Yasiel's just crushing these balls, and you would just see like Kershaw just couldn't believe it, and so all he could do was just like, and he would be like, you'd see him, and he would be laughing like he had just heard the funniest joke, like he couldn't believe like this was going on. And so I like to see the clubhouse like that. I like to see, you know, because you know there's some cohesion, and I was a little worried that the whole Matt Kemp thing was going to turn into a distraction, but so far, it's been. And you know what? I like Matt Kemp, but
it's very convenient. Yeah, he finally started playing well.
Right,
like, dude, where were you?
Come on, Matt.
Where were you in April? May.
Come on, you know, he hasn't been the same since he hit the wall. Wall, honestly. But hey, if you want to stay, Matt, we'll love to have you. But you better shut Dave Stewart up because that guy's making things hard for you right now. You know what I mean? If you really want to stay,
yeah.
I don't
and
think
I,
that
and I like Matt Kemp.
I do too. I just I'm one of those guys though that if you, as soon as you pull a Shaquille and you start like bad mouthing, I'm like, nah.
Yeah, I got to
get out.
I got to meet him and Ether. I think I might have told you this a couple years ago. They were doing a guest spot for a Cleveland show, and it was a baseball episode where Cleveland becomes a scout for the Dodgers, and they had a ton of other baseball players. But I was in the booth with both of them, and with Ether and Kemp, and it was just like a madhouse in there. There's tons of people there, like family, friends, publicists. It's most people I've ever seen. Because usually when stars come to like the family offices, it's just like them. It's no big deal. But for some reason, these two guys, there's like a giant entourage. So I tried to take a picture with them. Other people were, and I was like, I'm going to try and squeeze in here. Because I never do that.
You know,
like I've met some pretty cool people in my job, but like, you know, it's kind of like a no-no.
Did you get in?
Huh?
Did you get in any of the pictures?
No. With that said, no.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, David, and we'll come back. We're going to get to some of your other. I see some of your topics here. There's a lot we're gonna get to. So let me, because there's one question I think we've asked on here, but I want to ask you that. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with number one, number two Dodger fan, number three. Hmm? Where do you rank yourself?
Where are you at? Whatever. I'm one under you.
I'm up there, man. I'm up there. I'm not. I'm a huge fan, but I would say.
Well, we've pretty much lost all your non-Dodger fans during this podcast.
Screw them.
The last half hour. Your
screw them.
Numbers are probably plummeted.
No, well, we're not talking about nerd stuff. Which,
oh, and that too.
Like I always tell them, it can't always be lightsabers and hobbits, guys.
All right, let me go study on this break and read some of these comic books.
All right. I'm looking at. We'll be right back, guys, as I just shove gum in my mouth. We're back with my Lebanese guest, David Barnes.
Yeah, if you see my facial hair, you'll get it.
We were talking about David Barnes' ethnicity, and David Barnes, he's like a spy. We're not going to tell you what he is. Mm-hmm. Look at the picture. Could be Lebanese, could be... Mm-hmm. You have a very Euro look to you right now, like a very diehard villainish kind of look.
Okay.
You know, what do you think of that?
Maybe I should shave the beard more to make it more like George Michael-esque. You know, maybe bring it down a little more.
You just brought up a good point because we were just talking. One of the things on your question is, what would your walk-up song be? So we're going to continue with the baseball theme. So you said that Matt Kemp used like a George Michael song or
no,
was it Ether?
It was a Cure song.
Which one?
I can't remember. Some cheesy. Maybe it was Love Song.
He used that as his walk-up song?
Something like that. And Kemp had one too. That was kind of like 80s, like...
I've thought about this a lot, and it changes. Mm-hmm. What would your walk-up song be?
Well, there's a couple.
All right, I like that you... I like
One, Ginuwine's Pony. You know, if you're horny, let's do it, ride it. You know what I'm talking about? So that would be one. And then we got to get it just right. And then the other one would be... fucking, I don't know who sings it, but it goes... He goes, let me lick you up and down till you say stop. And then that's when the song will stop. And then I get ready and I do my thing.
Uh-huh.
So just like, that's the one. That would be my walk-up song. Dude. Just picture it. How awesome is that?
Yeah, I'd love to see you go to like ground into a week.
But then like I would be all like focused and like just have that like intense look on my face, like complete opposite of what music's playing.
Then,
in
then
the
a week grounded to the week grounded to the shortstop and double play.
And then
ending the inning.
Immediately hitting with a double play, bottom of the ninth. And then they gotta play it as I walk off.
Now, what if you were a reliever? What if you were like a closer? What if you were a closer? Would you have the same song, or would you? Is that for your walk up song to play? What if you were a closer coming in?
I was a closer. Yeah, they always do like Metallica. Or
Yeah. What's his name? Hoffman used to use Hell's Bells.
Mm-hmm.
So you would just hear the voice. You would hear the bells, and then it would, you know.
I would probably keep it somewhat sexual. And. You know, it's probably like mid-90s R&B.
Yeah. You know? So that's right, your wheelhouse right there. That mid-90s,
I think that's good.
Just heavy on the metaphor and light on the subtlety, like that kind of.
Yeah, maybe a good Color Me Bad song. I don't know. some shy.
I would go, I would probably go, if I had, my walk-up music would probably be, I'd probably do the beginning of Hot for Teacher by Van Halen, where just that drum, and it sounds like a motorcycle. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what
you're talking about. Yeah, and then, yeah, I would just do that. But I would leave it on for way too long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't just be like a 10-second. I'd really let the whole thing play out and just till the crowd's finally like, is he?
Yeah, I would do my warm-up, and then I'd just stand on the mound until I heard my favorite part of the song. And then I'd point to the PA to shut it off. I'd be like, all right, that's good. I'm ready.
It would just be this. And people would be looking around like, what is that noise? Like, they don't know.
Somebody bring thunderclappers to these things?
Yeah, that's it. And just, I'm adjusting my Velcro.
Wait, so have you run out of the tunnel yet at this point? Are you still just behind the gate, just waiting? And then this is where
I'm batting here. This is... I'm batting. I'm still walking. I'm standing there, hand on the hip. Yeah. I'm looking out into the, like, I'm looking up at the Vin Scully box. Deep breath.
You know what would be cool, though, is if this... If you ran from the dugout full sprint, slid into home, got up, and then you're ready. You just come blazing out.
Oh, that is a good.
Scare the shit out of the catcher and the ump. That's an entrance.
I love that. I like that you really thought about this, like what your warm up song.
Well, I also like the closers that come sprinting.
Yeah, when a guy just comes running.
They're down like 9-2. The game's out of hand, but the dude's still in it.
And you know the good thing about closers, they're not really in the best of shape sometimes, those closers.
Now, watching was Jonathan Broxton try to jog from the warning track to.
Oh, God. All that pastrami just moving around. And then you're just waiting for his heart to just blow out.
Before he gets on the mound, he's got to put his hands on his knees and just like, okay, gotta get this last out.
It's deep. How does he even muster enough strength to just get the ball across the plate?
Remember Gagne? Gagne was like that too.
Gagne, man.
He was a big boy.
Remember when the Dodgers had Eric Gagne and Greg Gagne and it was spelled the same, but you had to pronounce it differently?
Yeah.
That was irritating. What poor Gagne, man. That was, until we found out about the HGH, he was really the first closer I remember in Dodger history that like really generated that kind of excitement.
Yeah, and he won the Cy, I think, that year.
Yeah, had the goggles.
As a closer, yeah, that's right.
The goggles, man, remember that? The goggles, they do nothing.
So I think it's safe to say he won't get a statue.
Probably not. What I want to know is how the Dodgers still haven't retired Maury Wills' number and what's going on with that.
I think we can name a lot of people that they haven't gotten around to.
Otis Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
That was a reference for. Okay. That was a shout out to my buddy Hiddish. So you have a question. You have the state of the Lakers here. You want to jump on to Laker talk?
We could. That was a while ago.
But it's depressing, man. We still. I mean, they made some moves, but they didn't get anybody. And there's no defense. You got Byron Scott, who's a defensive coach, and they're not going to play any defense.
Yeah. Because I don't know. I haven't really seen what Boozer's done the last couple years.
Boozer's one of those annoying.
He was good at one point with Utah, but
Boozer's one of those guys that like I would have been glad he was on the Lakers like 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's pretty much our entire roster.
Yeah.
Nash is awesome 6 years ago. Yeah. Lynn was good 3 years ago.
He was one of those guys that was always annoying to. And then the 1 year we need Gasol, they finally get rid of him. Whereas before they could have got rid of him before and really just. I don't know. I know I'm too hard on Gasol, but I just feel like sometimes he's soft.
Yeah, it's just weird when they decide they want to turn it on in a game. Because I've seen him be an animal and then just kind of like, he plays that finesse game a little too much. It's like, you get it, you're Spaniard, and they do things a little different over there.
You're
and,
smart,
you know,
yeah.
You play the game a little more sexier for the ladies. We don't want that here.
Let's go, Inigo Montoya. Get in the paint.
Yeah.
Get in the paint and slap some dudes down.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. He does kind of try to finesse it. This isn't soccer, bro.
No, like I need you to throw an elbow.
Yeah.
I need you to knock a dude on his ass.
I need you to Karl Malone somebody once in a while.
Throw them bows.
There's another guy that I used to hate, and they threw him on the Lakers and nothing. Malone with that knee, driving that knee right into people's faces.
It's going to be a while before we're relevant again, unfortunately.
You know, with the Lakers, though, I tend to have more patience just because they've done so much in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. I tend to go, all right, we're going to have a few bad seasons, but, you know.
We're spoiled. We can't take it as fans.
I think this time it might be longer because unless brother and sister can get it squared away and stop fighting in the front office, we're in for a drought, dude. And we don't have Jerry West around to make play the long game where, you know, he's, you know, training for Kobe 10 years before anybody realizes what Kobe's, you know, potential is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, we don't have that anymore. We don't have that foresight in the front office, you know. So I don't know. I am. This concerns me. This drought concerns me more than it has in the past, where I always feel like, oh, the Lakers will be back, you know.
This will be like, especially when Kobe's done in 2 years, it's going to be like the mid-90s, the Eldon Campbell, Nick Van Exel days.
The Sedale 3. Oh, when my wife and I started taking her to Laker games, it was Eldon Campbell, Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones.
I like Eddie Jones.
You know, and, you know, Sean Rooks, mm-hmm. Jerome Kersey. Yeah. Like, had that mane chair. You're like, shave it, Jerome. Just get rid of it. Like, don't hold on to it anymore. And then, yeah, those were great. But at least with Van Exel and Eddie Jones, you had some excitement in the backcourt. You know, you had some – and Nick Van Exel had that – he had a bad attitude, and he was, you know, he was chippy. And then he'd just drain a three that would just kill a team. Mm-hmm. I remember he hit the final three again – the last game against Boston Gardens, he hit that three, that buzzer beater, and just killed it at the end. It's like – suck it, Boston Gardens. There you go. And that was – I love a guy like that. But we don't even have anybody like that to keep us entertained.
No, you can't – because everyone's – Lynn and Nash are too nice. They're too educated to be thugs like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Julius Randle's going to be like. Hopefully he's a monster. And then that's all they're just leftovers from last year. you know, I hope Nick Young does something. He's the one who's got a little attitude.
Yeah. So – I don't know, man. We'll see. I don't have high hopes.
I don't either. So I'll just take it from these dumbass Clipper fans again.
Like, Clipper fans that have never won a championship.
It's like you've been relevant for 3 years.
Yeah, right?
It's like, where were you the previous 30?
Thank you. God. I say that to Angels fans, although they get mad. It's like, you got one on a wild card.
And we were working there when that happened at the place
that shall not be named. Yeah. But, oh.
The Blues living room? Is that what it's called? See what I did there?
All right. So you have here superiority complex topics. Let's talk about that.
Well,
I'm kidding.
Okay, enough about you. Let's talk about me now. No, but I did want to ask you, maybe turn it on you now, because mm-hmm. I've only talked to you, I think, once or twice since you started this little podcast.
Yes, sir.
And if you talk this to death, just hit the mute button and go to a fake break, and we'll come back to something more exciting.
You got to see behind the scenes of the break. What did you think went on in the break when you were here?
Exactly what went on. You making weird noises in the bathroom.
Yep.
People staring at us like fish.
Isn't that weird when people come to the store and just look at you?
I keep looking over my shoulder like, who's that? Who's
that? Yeah. Your girlfriend's on the phone. She has no interest in what we're talking about.
No. Dodgers, Lakers.
She's with you all the time. It's not funny to her anymore.
She's like my silent Bob.
Oh, that's perfect.
But way hotter.
Yeah, way hotter. And then is it the same thing? Like, she won't say a lot, but when she does, it's like totally philosophical and just blows you away on it, like, on a really deep level.
Sure.
Yeah. She's
okay, here. Let's talk about Sex and the City. That's all. She has the full series.
Do you want to know what
it's been on a loop at my house?
I will tell you how Sex and the City revealed a huge fault of mine. We'll get back to your question in a second, David. But I realized that my wife would watch, and like all guys watch TV this way, where we're not really paying attention, but the information is still coming in.
Yeah.
So if you're watching that and David's on the computer, trust me, he knows what's going on.
That's what's going on this morning before I came over here.
But I will tell you, I figured out that I am a shallow human being because I resented Miranda. Which one's Miranda?
The redhead,
the lawyer, right?
Yeah.
I resented her because she is not as attractive as the other three. And that's when I realized I'm a horrible human being, because I was like, why am I being subjected to this woman? She's not as attractive as the other three. Why are you taking up valuable screen time?
Who's the really nice one? The brunette?
Charlotte.
I think she's the hottest one out of those four.
Oh, yeah. Charlotte, and my wife will argue this, but Charlotte reminds me of a girl I dated once that my wife knew, and my wife will say, no, but I'm sorry. It's okay, wife. You still remind me of Agent Scully. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my wife totally reminds me of Agent Scully. She did when we were younger, and she had her hair red. She really looked like Agent Scully. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, here's a little nerd trivia for you, Kirsten. We're going to use fake names. So Kirsten.
So her identity's not revealed.
Her identity's not revealed. Miranda, not Miranda. What's who's the nympho on that show? What's
Samantha.
Samantha.
And I'm ashamed that I know that.
No, but it's played by I can't think of her. Don't tell me, Kim Cattrall. She played. Did you know that she was a Klingon? Not a Klingon. She was a Vulcan in a Star Trek movie. You watch Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. It's the last one with the original cast with like Shatner and Leonard Nimoy and all that. The last one they all did together. She plays a Vulcan in that, and she's got a weird haircut and the pointy ears and everything.
And she's still a slut on that show. She's got between Spock and Kirk, and yeah, doing the same thing.
I believe they call that a wobbly Enterprise. But anyway, also, she's in a great movie, great 80s movie with Kurt Russell called Big Trouble in Little China.
Yep.
A Fox product.
That's a good one.
One of my all-time favorite like cult movies. Really great. But she's very – that was like one of her first big movies before Mannequin. You know her from Mannequin, obviously. But it was weird because when she hit on that show, that was kind of like a second – like she was kind of – had a shot at stardom and it never really took off in that movie. She was already older in that, or that series really made her like a big star. So good for her. It can happen, guys. That's really what I'm hoping with this podcast.
This is why I love your podcast, the transitions we have.
Because we just go off on
into Kim
Cattrall being a Vulcan. But you know what? That's what I feel bad for my wife because I don't just have the nerd gene. I have the sports geek gene too. So it's a mess. It's a lot of money on collectibles, is what I'm saying. Whether it's a signed jersey or a lightsaber, it's going to be a lot of money.
No, I do well in those trivia games.
Like the bar trivia or Trivial Pursuit?
Trivial Pursuit. Stuff like that.
You want to play around right now?
We have a friends one.
Oh, is that? Are you good at that?
Yeah.
Explain, Kirsten.
And I'm not ashamed to say that I love Friends. I always have.
You don't have to be on mic for this, Kirsten, but I can turn your mic. You let me know if you want to be on mic or not. You don't have to be.
Okay.
But I will tell you, here's the thing I just revealed. I revealed it on the podcast. I used to not care about Jennifer Aniston. And Friends is one of those shows my wife will have on a loop constantly. It's in the background. She's not really watching it, but it's something familiar. So
We watch it every night around 11 to 12 when we're going to sleep.
It's on like Nick at Night.
It's just background
It's on
noise.
Nick at Night. Yeah. So I watch it too. And I've always liked Friends. It's, I did not realize. I'm now getting around to the point where I was like, dude, Jennifer Aniston is hot.
Like seasons 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Like 20 years later, I'm like, wow, she's attractive. And now I'm mad at Brad Pitt retroactively for dumping her.
And what I loved about that show is that on the set, they kept the air conditioner really, really cold.
There is that. Yeah.
If you can tell.
My wife always brings it up. She's like, oh, yeah, this is a season where the air conditioner was on and they wore no bras. I was like.
That's like season three.
Especially that Chandler when you can really see him. I'm kidding.
Chandler's third nubbin.
But yeah, I really am like late to the Jennifer Aniston party. I'm like, this lady's adorable.
She is still my woman.
She's like pushing 50 and she's still a babe.
You know what though? We're getting to the point. I'm living in the golden age of people who are older who are looking really good. I just saw Guardians of the Galaxy and I found out Dave Bautista's 45.
Oh wow.
The guy's like ripped in that movie, man. And it's like, they've got them all like the raised tattoos on him. It looks really cool. And I'm like, I got 2.5 years to get to Bautista status.
You can do it, man.
I can do it, man. I'm gonna get in there and lift some tires or do whatever they do.
I really wanted to watch that movie before I came in here today.
It's good.
So we have something to talk
about.
It's
fun. I just did the review before you got here, Renee and I reviewed it. It's really, really cool. Everything a summer movie should be, man. It's fun. Check it out. Even if you know nothing, I knew nothing about the comic.
Yeah, because I've been kind of disappointed this summer.
I haven't seen Planet of the Apes, and everybody keeps telling me it's great.
It's great. X-Men was great.
Yes.
What else did we see?
I was disappointed with Godzilla.
Godzilla was whatever. Spider-Man was whatever.
I did not like Spider-Man.
Neighbors was funny.
I missed it. It's playing at the second run near my house, and we just can't get out to get it.
And we saw.
What about Captain America?
Saw Captain America.
I liked Captain
America. That was like a long time ago.
I felt like it was early. It was like May.
April. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
And then pretty much after this, the only movie I'm really looking for. I kind of do too. We want to see the Ninja Turtles next week. I grew up on that. It's going to be awful.
I'm up in the air. Anything that has Michael Bay.
I know. It's going to be awful, but I was obsessed with those turtles when I was like 8.
Yeah, you're the generation behind me, so you guys got the Pokemon and the Ninja Turtles.
I'm too old for Pokemon.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm 32. So
I
just missed that.
Well, Ninja Turtles were a comic when I was actually reading comics back in the 80s. But I just never got into them because it was just something out of – I only wanted to read if it was Marvel or DC. That's all I wanted to read. So I didn't – never got into Ninja Turtles. And then they were huge like a few years later. And I was like, I probably should have.
Yeah. Because I remember the first movie came out in 90. I was 8.
Yeah.
And my dad took – because my dad and I, we go to movies every Sunday. That's kind of like where my love of
– Yeah.
Of movies, and then it led to what I do now as a living. Like I've always just been like fascinated by that.
That's awesome.
World. And so yeah, we go to movies all the time and like – especially when the Ninja Turtle movies came out. Even the third crappy one where they went to Japan, I think. I don't even remember much. The second one that had Vanilla Ice in it.
Yeah. Remember that That's one? Right. That's right. Oh, my God. Yeah, Renee is a huge all the guys that work here are like huge Ninja Turtle guys. So it's funny because they'll be like, oh, because they just restarted the comic. And I'm like, I have no
– Yeah.
My eyes just glaze over.
I used to watch cartoons. I'd play the video games on like the original Nintendo.
I remember the arcade. They had a cabinet. They had a big old four-player. You could play four-player and you could be all of
that. Let's play that one.
What was your – not to throw you off. What was your question earlier?
About what?
You said you were going to turn it on me.
Oh, well, just a little like history of, you know, what made you want to do this well, podcast.
Honest to God, it's come up a couple times.
In 2 minutes or less, because I'm probably going to get bored.
So now I know you're not listening, because I've explained this. No, I have a really good friend. It's my friend Robert, who we call El Bobo. He's been on a couple weeks. He was guesting for the summer. Mm-hmm. My buddy Hitish, I told you about. We would just get into these weird conversations, like late at night, like kind of like bringing up the like, what would you know, like what would your walk up song be? You know, it's just it stemmed from like buddy conversations. But then I realized as I got older, the older I got, the less my social groups would mix. So like my work friends wouldn't hang out with my friends' friends because now my friends are established, and we've got families and stuff, so they're not necessarily going to go to like they're not going to be a function where my work friends are going to be. But I gravitate towards people like you that kind of – that make me laugh or are interesting or funny because I don't want to just – I'm not a person who likes to get together and like we're just going to gossip and talk crap on people. Yeah. I want to talk about movies. I want to talk about stuff like that. And so
– broad general topics.
Yeah. But have fun with it, you know, and just have a good time. And so this was my way of saying, well, you know, David Barnes doesn't know my buddy Hittish, but they would get along.
Yeah.
They're probably never going to meet. So this is the way, like, if he listens and then it's like, oh, that guy was cool. That's really what it is. I just try to think of myself as a conduit of people that I think.
So how many connections have you made through this in the last
You know what's funny?
Year and a half now it's been? 2 years?
There's friends. Like, we did a Doctor Who panel because I'm into the show Doctor Who. And then there were some people at work that were into it, so I brought them in. And then they brought friends. Mm-hmm. And so through, like, we have one of my favorite guests is my friend Julie. Julie Kang, she's been on a couple of times. She's got a whole like cottage industry of nerdy stuff that she's into, and like she's a good friend. And now she's friends with other people who've been on. It's weird. People who have met because of the podcast are like friends now, or like at least Facebook friends.
Yeah,
where like information's going back and forth, and like they're hey, did you see this? And they're tagging each other and stuff like this. So it's worked out really well for that. I was telling somebody, I never got into this with the idea of, well, I can turn this into something and be like the next, you know, podcast.
See, I thought it was just because you loved the sound of your voice.
I do that, too. Listen to this. How are you not?
Because I feel like when I listen to this, when it comes out, I'm going to be mortified
by
how I sound.
You sound very much like all of your Waka music, very sexual. You have a very sexual tone to you, and it's
I don't smoke cigarettes, but I smoked 6 outside before I came in here just to
get that
last
smokiness. You sound like Patty and Selma.
Just like yeah. Sorry, I was gonna maybe say something inappropriate, but I stopped.
That's okay. You sound now. Let me ask you this because I think you have the same problem I do with my wife. About when did Kristen realize that she had heard all of your jokes and there weren't going to be any new ones?
About fourth date. We're going on 3 years now.
No. Yeah.
There was a moment.
What? Like this morning, last night, last Wednesday?
No, I think it was like after a few months of living together, like I finished one of your jokes and you're just like, oh shit.
Yeah, that bothered me a lot.
Like the look on his face.
Don't ever steal my moment.
So depressing.
Yeah. Don't ever do that again.
Do you guys, I'll ask you this with Kristen in the room. Do you guys like share a lot of the same stuff, or is it like, she's kind of like, oh, check this out. And you're like, this is what I'm into.
It's
is there like a lot of sharing?
It's kind of more me, I think. I think I have as far as like what we watch, but I give her credit. Like she's watched a lot of dumb stuff. She probably would never, like, I like a lot of documentaries.
Yeah.
She's watched a couple with me.
If,
she would have never watched Fargo if I hadn't told her about it, you know?
And well, yeah, it's a different – I mean, it's at a point now, and I think – and not to sound sexist, I just think girls gravitate to different stuff, and Fargo might not jump out at her. But you know what I mean? If she – but if she watches it, she's like, hey, this is a – you know.
And I also like to think that because I work in the entertainment industry that I have, like, a better grasp of what's good and what's not. Mm-hmm. Now, there's stuff that I like that other people hate. I'm not saying I know everything.
So you're a snob. But I like
I try,
that.
A little. I mean,
hey, that's I call this a superiority complex for a reason.
True.
I know better than the scum out there, and that's really what I'm trying to do is educate these people.
We all have our guilty pleasures as far as what we like to watch, but you know.
What is your guiltiest pleasure right now? What are you watching right now that you're like, oh, this is terrible?
What am I watching right now?
I'll give you mine right now because it's an FX show.
I can tell you what hers is.
Does she want her to reveal it?
It's on MTV.
It's awful. I know.
What is it?
Teen Mom 2.
I'm obsessed.
She's 27 years old, by the way, watching Teen Mom 2.
Their lives just fall apart.
So that's So that's her guilty pleasure. What would mine be?
I think it is.
I used to secretly watch, and I don't in the last like couple years, but I used to watch all those Real World Road Rules challenges
on MTV.
How awful and horrible all those people are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know,
whenever I felt really bad about myself and I did something maybe awful the night before, this is my single days. But I would watch that show and it would make me feel better because at least I'm not that idiot.
You know, I did that with when they dropped Jersey Shore was on MTV for like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it was more out of just wanting to, you know, be a part of the cultural, like, well, you can't even call it cultural, but like the pop culture conversation. I wanted to know what fist pumping was. I wanted to know what come at me, bro. I wanted to know where is all this coming from? And it was just as awful as I thought it would be, but God, it was entertaining. Mm-hmm. It was really, and it is a guilty pleasure to watch some stuff like that. But there is a certain attraction to what the reality TV works for a reason. Mm-hmm. And it's because you want, and part of it is you wanted to feel superior. Part of it is you wanted to go, look at these idiots.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're sitting there devoting 30 minutes of your life you're never going to get back.
Well, one of my favorite shows.
Teen Mom is an hour.
Oh, my. DVR it. 42 minutes. Yeah. You're in.
We do watch The Soup a lot. Uh-huh. I love Joel McHale. I think he's hilarious. Because he's such a smug prick.
And he's got that down.
He's got it down to a T. And so, you know, it's like my way of watching. Because, you know, they'll show clips of all the horrible things that are on television right now. Things you never even heard of.
Yeah.
And so you could watch it in the clip form as they're making fun of it. And so it doesn't seem as bad.
It doesn't seem as bad.
You know, because I didn't watch the whole episode. I just saw the 2 minutes they just made fun of.
Yeah. One of my favorite shows ever was Mystery Science Theater. And it was like, it was a way to watch really crappy movies, and you could say, oh, look, I'm making fun of this movie, at the same time, you are still watching a really crappy movie. But those guys have gone on to do a bunch of stuff that they do, like the Fathom events, you know, they'll do like live Fathom events where they like they'll be at a theater somewhere, but they'll beam it out to all the other. They're gonna do the 1990s or 1999 Godzilla, they're gonna do that one. I want to see that one so bad because you know, it's they. Like, those guys are just the best.
Sure, they'll do a Sharknado at some point.
I didn't see Sharknado or Sharknado 2.
Me neither. I probably won't.
Yeah, well, you know.
I think it's on tonight.
Let's watch it.
All right.
That's your homework. You watch it and you do it.
And so when I come back here 8 months from now, we could talk about it?
You're welcome back anytime, man. You were welcome back.
I want to come back and talk about things that are irrelevant from like a year ago, like past events.
Go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
I can't remember.
We're all going to be dead from Ebola in like 3 weeks.
This is true.
So we're cool. I mean, I'm really – this may never air.
All right. So should we let out our true racist homophobic colleagues come out right now? Since we're all going to die anyways. Just turn this podcast into a Klan meeting.
Remind me to tell you, there's a great podcast called the Andy Daly Podcast, and they do an episode of. Did you ever see what was the movie Grizzly Man, the documentary Grizzly Man about the guy? Okay, so the whole joke of this the whole premise. This is going to take so much to get to where we need to go. Exactly. I've bored myself. The whole premise of the Andy Daly Podcast is he takes a character every week. And it's a different podcast every week because his characters are different. So he does one where he's doing a travel show, and the travel show is hosted by this German guy. So all of his guests are German, and they're all played by other comedians. So Paul F. Tompkins, one of my favorite comedians, is playing Werner Herzog. And they're all supposed to be telling his travel stories. And then Matt Besser is playing Pope Benedict, the retired Pope. And then my favorite of all Matt Gourley is playing H.R. Giger, who was the artist who inspired the Aliens. Uh-huh. The Aliens movie. So they're talking, and they're talking about how Werner Herzog at the end of The Grizzly Man, you know, there's the scene where he doesn't let the audience hear what's because
where he's getting mauled.
You know, yeah. So it's just a shot of him mm-hmm. listening and watching. So they're all asking him, like, what did he say? Like, what did he say? And one of my favorite jokes is like, did he say the N-word? He's like, yes, well, I guess you figured, you know, yeah. It was the N, so why not? So it was just all racial epithets yeah. because, you know, he had nothing to lose.
I hope the moment before my death I don't scream anything that just will, like, pretty much justify who I was as a human being for the past 30
Well, one of my favorite jokes
that and dying on the shitter. A little horrible.
That's a good way to go.
Make that cool.
That's gonna go. That's probably the way I'll go. Just
I thought it happened 10 minutes ago.
Well, I do make an X-wing fighter pilot. The same. Okay, I'm gonna say this, and this is gonna get a little crass, but the same noise that an X-wing, the same scream the X-wing fighter pilot lets out as his ship is being destroyed. Is the same scream I let out when things aren't going well in the restroom. Just like, yeah! You know what I mean? Because sometimes you have to talk yourself down when it's yeah. when it's bad.
And so does like, this also happen like at the urinal at Dodger Stadium?
Yeah, yeah. Just stay on target. Yeah. Stay on target. Almost there.
And almost then just a little drop comes out.
Yeah! Yeah, and then just that's it. I was going to make another.
She's mortified.
She's holding an X-Wing now. Are you mortified with the bathroom talk? Does that come up a lot?
What? That that she likes to go to the bathroom with the door open? Because the way our apartment is set up, you can sit on the toilet and have a direct shot to the TV in the living room. So you can be doing your business. Because she'll get up, go. There's only like 5 people that listen.
Yeah, that's fine. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. She'll get up in the middle of a show, and I'm like, oh, do you want me to pause it? She's like, no, I'm fine. And she just might look, and she's sitting in the dark doing her business, watching the TV from the toilet.
It's only number one, okay?
Girls only do number one.
Exactly.
It's funny because when you're once you get married or when you live together, like all that illusion of any illusion of that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
Out the window, man. You learn about people's habits and all. I feel bad for my wife.
We
because I'm basically a wild animal.
We're a farty couple. I'm gonna say it. We're a farty couple.
Is that true?
We had a late dinner last night because it's like we weren't hungry, and then at 9 we got a little hungry.
Yeah.
So she loves quesadillas. Ate one of those at like 10 o'clock last
Good for
night.
You.
So that was fun this morning.
Quesadilla.
Mm-hmm.
Did you make it or did you buy it?
No, we made it.
Nice. What was in it? What kind of cheese did we use?
It was just the Mexican cheese blend.
Yeah, just the generic.
Whoa, be careful how you say Mexican. I don't like the way that came off of your tongue.
It's yeah. on the label.
Like the way you said it, it kind of dripped off your tongue.
Yeah.
Trader
Mexican.
Yeah, there's a little sass in that.
Yeah. Just like the Mexican, you know,
yeah.
like that.
That was, it's like, yeah, no, I made it with cheese. I think the cheese was Mexican. Yeah. And then we made it with some tortillas probably made by a Mexican.
Yeah, I saw that. Freaking Bay Area. So you were, I want to interview you so bad, so we'll interview David about you. So was your girlfriend, is she from the Bay Area? Where's she from in the Bay Area?
She's from Clovis, which is just outside of Fresno.
I know where Clovis is, man.
So I feel like the line between Giants and Dodger fans is somewhere between Fresno and Bakersfield.
It's somewhere between, because a lot
somewhere
of people.
Somewhere up the 5, there's yeah. an imaginary line that as yeah. soon as you cross over it.
Somewhere around Visalia. It turns.
Smell in the air, where you know.
Kettleman yeah. City. Yeah. Kettleman City, right? Where it all happens. Yeah, somewhere around Visalia, it all just goes south, and you're mm-hmm. just like, I have family that lives up in the Central Valley.
Yeah, you start seeing shark stuff and giant stuff.
Yeah.
And Niner stuff.
And how about your Kings?
You know, I'm not a big hockey
Shut
fan.
Up. We're all big hockey fans in L.A. now.
I mean, great. That means I was able to see the Cup came to work 2 years ago when they won. I got to take a picture with it. So hopefully they'll do it again this year.
What do you got? You got any secrets? You have Fox BTS stories.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? You want to tell us about that?
Hold on.
What is Fox BTS?
Behind the scenes.
Oh, see, I'm not in the business.
Behind the scenes.
What do you got? Do you have any juicy? Who's been without naming names?
Okay, I'll just say what they rhyme with.
Yeah. Who has been someone that's been really difficult to work with? What does it rhyme with?
No, I mean, not to bash. Everybody's actually, like, pretty cool. Some people are just more comfortable with it than others as far as, like, interviewing. Like, we go to New Girl a lot. The guys on there are funny as hell. They'll do anything for you. Zoe's, she's not very comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Zoe Deschanel. I'm not I don't know these people personally, so if I say them by the first names, I want to sound like all...
Remember, superiority complex.
I know, because I'm just the weirdo guy with the camera that they never speak to.
Yeah, okay.
And so, you know, she just did interviews, and she doesn't like when we shoot B-roll of her scenes, which is fine, because they're working, you know, I don't know if it distracts her.
Yeah.
She's
a professional.
Kiefer Sutherland's kind of like that, too. Because I'm Touch. Remember that show Touch?
No.
Like a couple years. It only lasts like 2 seasons.
You mean Liefer Sutherland?
Liefer Sutherland. he's very like professional, but like he's not big. Because I was there with a camera shooting behind the scenes on Touch.
Yeah.
It's like one little scene in a motel room with his son. And between the takes, like he's getting like his hair fixed. And I'm just still shooting. And I saw him through my camera like glance at me and then just immediately duck out of the frame. And I was like, oh, shit. Like he's going to come over and beat the crap out of me right now.
He's a big guy.
No, he's not.
That's Jack Bauer.
I'm taller than him.
Are you really?
He's not a big guy.
Who's the shortest guy you've seen that was you were surprised?
I met Seth Green.
But you're not surprised that he's short.
No, everybody knows that. On Dads. We did a lot of Dad stuff.
Is that still going to be on?
No, the show is done. Not very good, unfortunately.
Like, listen, you're not allowed...
But everybody... It's canceled, so who cares? If it was still on, I wouldn't say this. But everybody on the cast was awesome. Like, everybody was really nice. It was him... Giovanna Ribisi, Martin Mull. Those are like kind of bigger names that were on there.
That's awesome. I like Giovanna Ribisi. Did you ask him about his time on Saving Private Ryan?
No. Or Friends.
Oh, that's right. He was on Friends. Yeah. Everybody's been on Friends, dude.
Mm-hmm. He was on there. Like, cool. He was like a baby when he was on that show.
Only if you're cool. Is that what you said? Yeah. What, do you guys... What, oh, you didn't answer. What is your guiltiest pleasure on the air right now?
Oh,
I'm going to go Sons of Anarchy.
I never got into that. But everybody loves that show. How's that a guilty
pleasure?
It's
because it's a bad TV show done really, really well.
Okay. So I'm going to say gang related.
You told me about that. What did you say? It's the Mexican?
It's the Mexican Departed. Totally is. You know, funny thing about that show, and it may come back, so I can't bash it too hard. But when they, because they shot this a long time ago, so I was able to watch like all the, there's like 12 or 13 episodes, and I was able to watch all of them. And it started off with promise, kind of lagged in the middle, and then the last couple episodes were actually kind of decent. Very cliche, though, as far as dialogue and just what goes down.
Yeah.
And so, but Fox was like really proud of it because it's a show that has a lot of, you know, there's a Chinese guy on there. There's a Chinese gang, a black gang, a Mexican gang. So they feel like we have all these multi-ethnic cast members on there, and we're very proud of it because there's not a show like this on TV. And so they went to this place to show the pilot. It was like a little Q&A afterwards, and it was all like these like neighborhood leaders and like Latino organizations and stuff like that. I forgot the name of the place. It was in downtown somewhere. And then when the show was over, like all the questions they were asking them were like kind of like negative. And so like, well, okay, cool. There's Mexicans on the show, but why do we still got to be gang members?
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Why can't he's like, well, one of the guys on there, you know, he's like starting his own bank. And I was like, yeah, to launder money for his drug lord dad. It's like, you kind of hit it, but then you're like, you don't take it all the way. And so they were just like really annoyed and it's just awkward to watch. Like,
yeah, watch it get eviscerated.
No, and then, like, because there's, like, some of the cast members are up there, the writers, you know, they're, like, trying to defend it. And it just got, like, a bad rap from the beginning.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, it is hard because you figure, like, I still.
But again, like, once I've gone to the set, I've interviewed the entire cast. Cliff Curtis, who's a great actor, who plays Javier. He was in, what most people probably know him for, he was Smiley in Training Day. Remember? Yeah. He's New Zealander, by the way, which is really?
Really
weird when you start talking to him, because he always plays these, like, Mexican gang members.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's not even 1% Mexican.
That's so funny. He must be Maori.
Oh, is that like a...
It's the tribe, the native tribe from... Yeah, well, people always think I'm... people always think I'm Hawaiian or Samoan or Maori.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, you don't really have a Mexican name either.
Yeah. You know what?
I'm Barnes, so I shouldn't really talk.
Yeah. You know, but I did have another question. I'm writing it down here. Hold on.
But guilty pleasure TVs, I like to think everything I watch is quality.
I always think that too.
I mean,
you know.
I mean, you know, when the Emmy nominations come out, I look at them like, oh, I watch most of these shows, so I must be doing something right.
There you go. I like to watch this. You know what? It's okay if you watch crappy stuff once in a while.
I like all the stuff on Showtime and HBO.
Friends. Friends gets the big thumbs up.
Yeah. But that was like 10 years ago. And
but it's still relevant.
It is.
That's the amazing thing.
It's still relevant because every time I watch it, I'm like, how did I miss out on this Jennifer Aniston boat? It's really irritating me. she likes fat guys. I'm convinced. So you want to touch on real quick.
Well, not all those. You got
what are you looking forward to the fall? You got the fall movies. What are we looking forward to?
Yeah, I don't know if you've talked about those yet.
No, hit them. We haven't talked about any. We're still in the middle of summer.
Yeah, I know. But I think we're winding down. The last good movie I think that's going to be coming out that I want to watch is Sin City. I hope that doesn't suck.
Frank Miller. I know. A lot of people are over.
And Jessica Alba is my number one.
Oh, we went to the Orange County Fair, and they had a fun house. You know, you'll see a lot of the same. If you go to Orange County Fair and they go to LA County Fair, they'll have like the same rides, and they're just painted differently. Or there's so there's this fun house my daughter liked last year at the
LA County Fair. Everything's in Spanish. Orange County's everything in English. It's another difference.
With a cowboy hat on.
A lot more Raider jerseys.
So there was this fun house. My daughter loves. That's her thing. That's her jam right there. The fun houses, right? So they had this one that she really liked. She went on, like, I kid you not, like 20 times we were at the LA County Fair. We go over to LA Orange County Fair, and it's different. It's painted differently. It's like a superhero theme, and they're not licensed. It's like DC, Marvel, all these, like, all on one. And they have a picture of Jessica. It's supposed to be Sue Storm. So she's got the Fantastic Four uniform, and so you're like, oh, that's Jessica Alba. It's Scarlett Johansson.
Like Scarlett Johansson, who grew up in the suburbs of like Tijuana.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson is Jessica Alba as Sue Storm.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
In the Jessica Alba story. It's so. it's like three deep, that reference. But we got. That should be. Jessica Alba is. I always liked her work in Machete. I thought she was underutilized.
No, unfortunately, her movies are awful.
Yeah, but, no, she's, you know, but she's nice. She's easy on the eyes.
Very.
And she's Latina. So
and she's a businesswoman. That's very attractive.
We give her our support. Mm-hmm. We give her our support. She's brown. She's nowhere near as attractive as Kirsten over here.
Not even. She grew up in Pomona.
Is that true?
She did.
She probably went to the Glass House, saw some shows out there.
Probably that In-N-Out that's right there on Gary.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
David is her number one stalker. So.
Is that true?
No, I follow her on Instagram.
Who's your number one? Who's your number one, Kirsten?
Oh, well, go ahead.
So do you guys have a list, like if you ever meet this person? Okay, so that's hard to play with him because he could actually meet somebody.
I know. Well, here's
Jessica would be number one.
Yeah,
on
and the only thing that she's kind of worried about is Mila Kunis is on that, and I've never met her, but because she's on Family Guy.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Yeah.
I mean, she's knocked up now, so.
Yeah. Even better.
That wouldn't stop me. That's on my bucket list, to have a pregnant chick that's not my pregnant chick. Just somebody else's pregnant chick. Is that gross? Is that weird? It's a bug. Everyone, shut up, guys. Stop jumping out there.
Who is yours? Who is your? Who's on your safe list?
My safe list?
Your friend's five laminated.
I know.
Well, she got to meet one.
Who?
I did.
Yeah, and she was too scared to go up to him, so I creepily, like, cornered him. Hey, take a picture of my girlfriend. Vinny Chase, Adrian Grenier.
Oh, Vinny Chase.
We ran into him at an art gallery, and he was just there by himself walking around, and I was like, go take a picture with him. She's like, no. I'm like, fine. Adrian, how you doing, man? Good fan. You mind take a picture of my girlfriend? He's like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
And she's just like frozen like a statue.
You know what?
I'm like, put your hand on her butt, man. Yeah. Like, make her night. Get her warmed up for me. I'm going to take her home.
You're that guy. Yeah. You're that guy. Just, you know.
Adrian, turn my girlfriend on because I can't do it anymore. I need help.
I met John Hamm in real life, and I think it turned me on. Dude, that's a guy so good looking in real life.
John Hamm.
Dude, and he's super nice. Just the nicest guy in the world. Talked about baseball with him, and he was just the nicest. And he's a huge fan of stand-up. That's where I met him, outside of a comedy show. Mm-hmm. And all his buddies are like all these stand-up comedians from L.A.
He's not Don Draper at all.
No. And he was just the nicest guy. Like, but I seriously was like, I don't care if I'm a dude. This dude is good-looking guy. Like, you just see there's some people in real life that you're like, no wonder you're on TV, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, you should be. There's nothing else you should be doing.
But when you saw him, it was like that scene in Wayne's World where he sees Cassandra and all the sparkles.
It was like the 60s Star Trek with like the Vaseline on the lens. So it was just in like super soft focus like that.
Vaseline.
In finger quotes.
And then the other one that you heard, your other childhood crush, a good buddy of ours used to bartend this bar in Silver Lake, and we would go there all the time. And one of the regulars there is Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement.
He looks exactly the same.
I think he might be shorter than Seth.
Is that a plus or a minus? The fact that he looks the same.
Total plus.
You see that as a plus?
But I mean, we saw him there, and
I still think I'm like 12 years old sometimes. I see him, me too. And he looks like the 12-year-old Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I immediately revert back to the 12-year-old me. But we have ran into him 3 separate times.
And every time
bar.
You've had an opportunity to profess your love.
He was standing right next to me at the bar, and I just like stopped breathing.
He's still got that Home Improvement money. He's doing all right.
Yeah, he's doing all right. If it's in reruns, he's doing all right. Get those residuals.
And the Lion King? Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, that's right. He was in the Lion King.
He was baby Simba.
Oh man, that blew my mind. Even it was something that I knew that I'd forgotten that I was like, oh yeah. Because there was a time when that show was like the biggest thing in the world. Mm-hmm.
And then Guilty Pleasure, one of her favorites. So during the holidays, Christmas Story,
Santa Claus.
Life. There's a lot of great Wonder movies. Hers is I'll Be Home for Christmas with Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Jessica Biel when they were both like 13. She loves it. Don't know why. Loves it.
Every year, I have to watch Miracle on 34th Street.
Which one? The original with Natalie Wood?
She's never seen a black and white movie in her life.
That's so not true. I own the original.
We watched Psycho a couple months ago.
There you go. How was that?
Because we watched Bates Motel, which is pretty good. And she'd never seen, Psycho, you mean?
Not as... Really? Yeah,
It's always like I always tell you, you have to put yourself in the context of this was
how
before,
shocking stuff this, like that. Yeah, was
this
in 1960.
Yeah, this was before there was like a Showtime show about a lovable serial killer. He's a serial killer, but he only kills other killers. But yeah, none of that. I mean, this was like this is something that like it was totally taboo. You would never.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
The whole cross-dressing thing was like,
It's like when I showed my wife Citizen Kane and she was just like, God, can we just – is this over yet? But I get it. I understand why she's – as someone who loves movies, I understand why it's important. And as someone who, she doesn't have the – she just does not care about movies like I do. I can see her going, okay, what happened? Why did we watch that? She could have watched like a 5-minute synopsis of it and been fine.
Why is this number one again
on
the list?
I'll tell you why. And then it's a 2-hour lecture and she's just like, "What? God, what did I ask?
I know. And then I pull out my old textbooks from film school and I start flipping through it to see this is why.
I just looked at the time. You need to get out to the – you're going to go party on a yacht today. So we got to get you out of here. So I wanted to give you – just real quick, you got any recommendations for us? You have a film that people may have not have seen or just something you're really into watching or watching right now that you're back on board? Guilty Pleasures. Next time Kristen's going to be on because you guys make a good team.
It's just me bashing her. And
pretty much.
I'm sorry.
But when you see – if you saw the disparity, Dave's hideous, and Kristen is like really like she's a beautiful young, and he's really like I was telling somebody like boy this guy's really you're really playing above your ability right now. You're like the Dodgers last year. Remember when everybody was hurt and all the rookies were in there just getting they had like a freaking they were like 50 games above 500. They said, like, the Dodgers are red hot. That's you right now. It's like, how are we doing this with a bunch of guys from AAA?
And I didn't wear my eye patch today because I'm that comfortable around you. So you can see my disfigured face.
Yeah. The Nick Fury. We got to look at what's under the eye patch. He should be thanking his lucky stars. Not really. They're both good-looking people. It's irritating.
So are you, man.
I know. But
don't get it.
Listen.
You got a good-looking kid.
I have a face for radio.
That's what they all say.
Have you ever just had anybody walk up to you, like, just out of the blue as you're walking down the street, touch your face and go, oh, my God, are you okay? That's probably never happened to you. Happens to me all the time.
Are they usually wearing shades?
Oh, my God, are you okay?
Was this outside the Braille Institute at LACC?
With the crosswalks?
Mm-hmm.
The Braille crosswalks? That noise? Let's talk about it. Anything you want to recommend to the kids out there? I'm going to put on my Gotham City badge.
There it is.
If you don't think this is going in my wallet, you are.
Well, I can say all the shows that are ending because I'm trying not to pick up new shows because for up until 3 years ago, I really didn't watch television. One, because I had a horrible schedule, bartending and serving.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that I work in TV, you know, obviously I'm going to promote, like, the Fox stuff.
Sure.
Even, you know, actually, Gotham is going to be...
Yes.
There's really a good potential for that. They had a really good...
Have you seen any of
the... I saw the pilot.
How is
That's
it?
That's all they've shot so far. It's good. It's good. It's not perfect, you know, because there's so much to cover, because they're trying to, like, jam all these future villains. Some of them are kids. Some of them are just, like, getting into this underworld of Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll be good. It'll definitely get huge numbers because people watch it out of curiosity.
Out of curiosity.
And then hopefully it doesn't disappoint.
Well, you know, Arrow did that. They have the Arrow show over on CW, which could have been terrible because it's CW, and but they only devote about 25% of it to being a teen drama. The other 75% is actually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to pull off stuff now because if you watch stuff on HBO and Showtime, they have the budgets.
Yeah.
And network TV doesn't necessarily have the budget. But
but
they every dollar that they have goes into, like, making that show be really good. Well, so,
and the shows that do have large budgets that pretty much every J.J. Abrams show that he's given Fox the last couple of years from, like,
Fringe.
Almost Human.
Yeah.
Which it was actually getting decent numbers, but the budget was so high they had to cancel it. Terra Nova, which is a Spielberg show. Remember that one?
Yeah.
It was like half, like, Stargate, half Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Half whatever. That's three halves. That's impossible. And then Alcatraz.
Yeah.
You know, so these shows that get ratings is because the budgets are so high, they got to cancel them. I think Gang Related is one of those, too. Because it's very action-oriented. It's not the cheapest show to produce.
Yeah.
I don't know if Gotham hopefully doesn't go that route because... You know,
I think there's enough of a fan base.
American Idol, nobody cares about American Idol anymore. No. So Fox is, like, dropping as far as they're not the number one network anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, they're really putting a lot on Gotham. And this other show, Red Band Society.
Okay, what's that about?
That I was out of town for a couple weeks going to different cities with them. They would show the pilot at, like, a theater, have a Q&A afterwards. During the day, some of the actors would... Well, first of all, the show takes place in a children's ward of a hospital, mostly teenagers. Some have cancer. Some have cystic fibrosis. Some have, like, eating disorders. So they all have something different. And it's a dramedy, I guess.
Yeah.
People are using that word now. It's like it's a drama, but there's, like, funny elements to it. And I don't know.
Kind of like Freaks and Geeks.
Kind of, yeah. There's, like, serious undertones, but they try and keep it lighthearted.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... like, I went to Chicago, Boston, Atlanta. They went to Denver, Philly, New York. And they would just go, like, throughout the day. We go to a kid's hospital in the city, and they'd interact with the kids and do promotional tour. Anyway, so we're doing that. And, like, the cast are really, like, all the kids are great, man. They're really, so I want the show to succeed because I was able
kind of get behind
to, like, get to know them.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's where it's like it gets – you watch a show and it's awful, but then when you get to meet them, you're like, you feel bad. Cause you're like, oh, I really want this to be successful because I like you.
Yeah, yeah.
But not – obviously everybody gets to be on that side.
Yeah.
You know, like
the, and it's funny because I think sometimes you know when – you can tell when an actor knows he's on a show that's maybe not that good.
Yeah.
But he's still giving it all anyway, you know?
That, I think that's Terry O'Quinn on Gang Related because I love Terry O'Quinn.
Well, you know, ever since he got out of that wheelchair, man.
And he, some of those reviews for that show were – brutal.
I'm gonna have to check it out now. It's morbid curiosity to watch that show. What are you listening to right now, David? What do you got for music? You just want something sexual, some 90s R&B,
something? Yeah.
All right, that's it. I just like to.
Oh, to cue me out? You mean?
Yeah. No. I just want to see if you recommend anything.
Oh, I got. Well, my favorite. She's got Satellite in her car, so my favorite station is 90s on 9.
There you go.
Love and I'm the Pop 2K generation.
She's Pop 2K.
So Britney Spears, what do you got? What do you got? Your Britney Spears.
All those boy bands 10 years ago.
You know, that to me, that music's, what's the word I'm looking for? Toxic? Thank you.
An abomination to everybody who can hear.
Thank you. Well, David, we're gonna wrap it up, man, because I know you got to go out and cruise on a yacht. You know, it must be rough.
Yeah. It's probably like a little schooner that's going to sink.
You know what? Well, you'll, at least
with all these chubby Mexicans on, it's going to be like
you will have you'll live on in perpetuity because of your appearance here, and people will speak about you in reverent and hushed tones
as they should.
The fantastic David Barnes. Well, David, thanks for coming in, man. We've been trying to plan this for a long time, and you actually reached out to me. I'm really glad that you listened sometimes, and
yeah, definitely.
I do appreciate.
We had a lot of great times at the place
we met, and outside of the place we met. And I found remind me, I found some fantastic pictures of a party where you are
shirtless
and
drunk.
You're peeing in a fountain. So I will have to send that to you. I found a bunch of them when we were moving. I was going through saving a bunch of pictures on my hard drive, and I was like, I pulled out this old file. I'm like, what is this? And there's just all these pictures.
No, I found a couple pictures of you and I, and remember Jamie Cole?
Yeah,
well, she's married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She lives out in lives in Sacramento. Yeah.
I went to her wedding. We went to her wedding last year, and we saw Patrick and Janine up there too.
Speaking of which, Patrick is. We just talked about him.
I know he doesn't live down here, but he would be a great guest.
You need to. I'm going to give you a little. I'm going to give you off air. I'm going to give you a little secret about Patrick in the show. So I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you a little secret about that. But you need to come back again whenever you can, man. Let me know, and I will. It was a weekend, but I'll always come down here if you want to come down. I know you work during the week, but if you get if you can get down here, dude, I'd love to have you on again.
Definitely.
For sure. We'll talk again after the Dodgers win the World Series this year. We'll be back here for that wrap-up.
Well, I mean, I'll obviously see you in the parking lot when we're burning and flipping cars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, because we're Mexican.
Obviously.
And then we're going to have to steal something from, like, a vacuum repair shop that has nothing to do with the World Championship, but we'll be in there. We'll be in the throwing bricks through that guy. That guy's got to pay for our 26-year, or what is it now, our 26-year drought.
26, yeah.
Ugh.
That'll happen.
It's going to happen. One of these days, I always say the Dodgers will win again, and my great-grandchildren, I'll hug them and I'll say, "See, I told you this day would come."
And they're going to bring the ticket stub to your gravesite.
Yeah, yeah, right before I poop myself and die. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how it's going to go down. So, for the lovely Kristen, for David Barnes, and for everybody here at Undercity 2 who are wonderful sponsors of the show.
Who showed up early today.
Who showed up early. So yeah, special shout out to Renee, who showed up early to get the store open so we could start early so these guys could go cruise on their yacht. These entitled bastards. We will say this transmission ends now.